Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Tech Talk, your regular look at technology from a blindness and low vision perspective. I'm Dave Williams. We're always keen to hear from you. It's your program. So if you have a technology question or experience that you'd like to share, do drop us a line via email. That address, it's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk at rnib.org.uk. I'm Dave Williams, and our co-hosts this week are Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman. And we're going to be talking about exhibitions, guys, in particular Sight Village Central. Tasneem, have you been to a Sight Village event?
I have, many moons ago, actually, Dave, and I tend to go to the ones that are more kind of local to Shrewsbury, which are fairly large exhibitions, but obviously not on the scale of Sight Village.
Callum, do you find exhibitions useful, or is it all a bit much?
I quite like them. I think it's good to have everything in one place and good to just go and see and, you know, get a good wide overview of what's on offer. So, yeah, I love Sight Village.
Excellent. Well, sit back and we look forward to hearing from some of the exhibitors at this year's Sight Village. Coming up this time on Tech Talk, it's our Sight Village Central special. We'll be hearing from Stuart Lawler of Sight and Sound and learning what's new with Dolphin and much more besides. So stay tuned for our Sight Village special. Sight Village is the UK's premier exhibition of assistive technology products and services designed for blind and partially sighted people. The event is coordinated by Queen Alexandra College, and Callum Stoneman now speaks with Lottie Reed.
It is our Sight Village special here on Tech Talk, and joining us now is Lottie Reed from Queen Alexandra College. Lottie, do you want to just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your role and how that fits into Sight Village?
Yeah, sure. So thank you for having me, Callum. It's great to be here and to finally be able to talk about face-to-face events again. QAC is organisers of Sight Village events. We are a specialist college based in Birmingham. We provide education, training, routes to employment for people aged 16 to 25 with a disability. And Sight Village is an exhibition of products and services for people who are blind and visually impaired. And part of my role here is to organise Sight Village events alongside my colleague Karen, and she's been organising the event for many years, was with Sight Village right from the beginning when it started here at QAC, and each summer classrooms were cleared and the event took place here, and then it just grew in size and popularity, and we're returning to Cranmore Park, which is probably the biggest venue that Sight Village Central has ever been hosted at. So that kind of gives you an insight into my role and how Sight Village has developed over the years.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mention about it being a big venue, because of course, a couple of years ago with the pandemic, like the rest of the world, it was a virtual event. Last year, it kind of went back to its roots a little bit, you know, it was a kind of smaller event. And now this year, it's finally able to have it back in full swing. You know, how's that been able to bring it back to a big full-scale event? I guess that's been a tough job for you guys.
Absolutely. It's been an interesting time, you know, for all businesses and organisations, and especially the events industry, because you've had to adapt to bringing events online. And for Sight Village in particular, you know, it's that face-to-face interaction that really that is helpful for our visitors, being able to actually test out products and speak to sales reps and the organisations that are there, and to be able to get that kind of first-hand advice is really vital. So it was a challenging time, but I think that people just really appreciated the fact that Sight Village was still there, that they could still ask questions if they needed to, that they could still find out about the latest tech and support services that were available, and that really we were able to stay connected with people. So it's weird going back to face-to-face events. It's exciting. It's exciting that we'll have what we always call the buzz of Sight Village back, and to see our regulars and people that we've never met before. but it's been weird organising a face-to-face event again.
Yeah, I guess that's the beauty of Site Village, isn't it? Because there's so much assistive tech out there, and some of it you really just don't know. Whether you can read about it and you can listen to all the demos and read the user guide, but there's nothing like just literally getting hands-on with it sometimes, is there?
Absolutely. And I think that as much as you can kind of describe the functions of a product and what it does, really, you know, it is just having that hands-on experience that counts. And as I said, having someone there who can answer your questions directly. So it'll be good to be back in person and to see people again.
I wanted to ask you as well about the exhibitors, because we've got the usual assistive technology companies there, you know, Humanware, Sight and Sound, all the kind of classic ones, if you like. But then there's also Amazon as one of the sponsors, and they've sponsored it for a couple of years as well. They're promoting, of course, Lady Air, as we call her. Otherwise, we'll set off smart speakers all over the place. Does that feel like we've come a long way, you know, having a mainstream company as one of the sort of headline sponsors at an event like this?
Absolutely, it really does. And I think, you know, we were speaking before this about what that means for the future of Site Village. And I think it's great that mainstream technology is adapting and it's becoming more accessible for people. And it will never, you know, the companies that attend Site Village and have been with Site Village from the very beginning, and it's not to take away from them, that technology is absolutely vital and it will still be needed now and in the future. But I just think that the fact that people can get their hands on mainstream technology now and it is more accessible, it'll be interesting to see how things evolve, and especially with things like artificial intelligence, you know, driverless cars, things like that. That's exciting, and we look forward to hopefully being able to introduce some more of the mainstream technology that's available. But yeah, it's great to have Amazon on board, and they're great supporters of the event.
If for whatever reason people can't get to the main event in Cranmore Park, there are other events going on out there. There are other Site Villages happening throughout the year.
Yeah, so we've got two events after our central event. So we've got Site Village Northeast, which for people who want greater geography like myself, that's in Leeds. And it will be taking place at the Royal Armouries on the 21st of September. And then we will be going to London again for our annual Site Village Southeast event. And that's at Kensington Town Hall. And just something to note on that, it is usually a 2-day event, but this year it is only for the 1 day. And that's on the 8th of November.
Well, I'll let you go because I'm sure you've got a lot to be getting on with. It's not long now up until the event. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for joining us and for telling us a bit more about Site Village.
Thank you.
I have to confess, I have been both exhibitor and visitor when it comes to exhibitions of assistive technology products and services. And earlier, Tasneem, you mentioned that you had been to some local exhibitions near Shrewsbury. I guess it depends how much money you've got. Do you find those exhibitions helpful?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think it's called a See and Hear, so it's kind of visual and for people with hearing loss as well. But yeah, kind of a wide range of things. And as Callum said earlier, it's just really useful to sort of see what's available, what's on the menu, what services are out there, and just giving me the choice and other people to see what services and organisations are around and what support they can offer. So yeah, I think it's really good to have that under one umbrella.
Callum, some blind and partially sighted people will find an exhibition space challenging to navigate. Has that been your experience?
Not for me specifically. I mean, the one time I did go to Site Village, the big Site Village, if you like, in Birmingham, that was a good few years ago, and I went with a family member. What I did like about Site Village and what I did see when I was there was that because it's an event targeted for visually impaired people, they do tend to be really, really good at providing assistance at the event, which I guess is one of the values of going to something like this. It's that they know there's going to be visually impaired people there. That's the whole point of it. So they've kind of made their services suit that. I did see something when I was looking at booking that, you know, they can meet you at, I believe it's Birmingham New Street that's nearby, the nearest train station, and they can provide someone to guide you for the day. And, you know, they will guide you around and tell you what's available, who you can speak to. I guess they would probably help you get, you know, some lunch and things like that. So there's assistance available at these sort of events.
Yeah, and also the show guide is often available in multiple formats as well. I know often at Site Village events, they make the list of exhibitors available in Braille. Taz, when you go to these kinds of conferences and exhibitions, is it just the stands that you're interested in, or do you go to any of the talks and presentations?
I think mainly I've been to the stands. I don't actually think locally there were any sort of workshops or presentations as such. So, yeah, I think that if I was to go to Site Village again, either this year or next year, then I'd be really interested in going to the presentations and workshops just to see what they were like.
Indeed, yeah. And if you've missed this year's Site Village Central, there will, of course, be more exhibitions later in the year. Callum, what would be your top tips for somebody perhaps going to their first exhibition? It can be quite a long day, can't it? And obviously, you want to make sure that you get the most out of it.
Yeah, it can be. And I think, as I said, try and contact them beforehand and just to explain your assistance needs if you want to. And I'm sure they'll accommodate. If you can, if you have the ability to go online, maybe have a look in advance, because the list of exhibitors is usually published quite early. So have a look at the list of exhibitors, maybe have an idea in mind of the sort of things that you want to look at, the sort of people that you want to speak to. I guess just try and plan it the best you can. I mean, we're looking at Site Village from a technology point of view. I mean, this show is tech talk, but it's worth remembering as well that there's not just technology. I mean, there is a big focus on technology, but there's also quite often just info about general services. There's quite often people like guide dogs there. There can be information on sport. There can be information on travel. So it's an all-round, you know, it's very much an all-round event. So try and have a look at what's available, what piques your interest, and just try and make the most
of it. I would say prioritize, you know, think about the areas that you're particularly interested in. If you're a student about to start a new course, maybe you're going to have a disabled students allowance assessment or an access to work assessment if you're starting a new job. So it's worth prioritizing the companies and the technologies that you're interested in particularly. But many of these organizations are willing to meet with you afterwards as well. So you can just, you know, have a quick sort of nip round on the day and then perhaps make appointments to follow up with anybody that takes your fancy afterwards. So here's a question for both of you. And this is something I'm sure that the exhibitors would love to know. Have you ever bought anything at an exhibition?
Well, for me personally, I've never bought anything actually at the event, mainly because, I mean, we all know that assistive tech can be pretty pricey. So I've never bought anything at the event as such. But one of the times when I did go, there was a Braille display that I was interested in. And thanks to Site Village, I did manage to get my hands on it. And obviously, there's a lot of people around, so you don't get to have a full walkthrough. But I did get to sort of connect it to my phone briefly and play with it for 5 minutes. And I'd had it in mind for a while, but actually getting hands-on with it allowed me to see, you know, that it definitely does work for me, because you can read about it as much as you want, but nothing compares to having the real experience, especially for something like a Braille display. So then, thanks to that, I've then later on, when I was doing my university application, I requested that display and managed to get it. So that was really useful.
So it informed a purchase that you made later on. Tasneem, do you take your credit card with you when you go to an exhibition?
Yes, certainly, but I haven't made any purchases. I think it's just really useful to see what's on the market. The last time I went to Site Village several years ago, I remember being at the Synaptic stand and just having a look at that technology to see if it would be quite useful for me. And it was really good to have, you know, 5 or 10 minutes just looking at the software, how it operated, you know, seeing a demonstration of it. And actually, I then ruled it out because it wasn't really suitable for me. So that was really helpful.
I think I bought a cane once. I was in the market. I'm always leaving canes in taxis and hostelries. And so I was a bit low on canes the one year. So I did manage to pick up a cane. So I always appreciate the opportunity to buy things on the day. It's a little bit dangerous, isn't it? Especially if you go along with your credit card and you see something shiny that you fancy. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, stay tuned and we'll give you a little flavour of what you might find at this year's Site Village Central. Callum, Tasneem, thanks very much. You're listening to Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Dave Williams. And before I introduce our next guest, I should declare an interest that a long time ago in a galaxy, actually not that far away, I worked with Dolphin Computer Access on Supernova. And we know Supernova is famous for its screen reader, screen magnifier. Dolphin will also be known to many of you as the company that produces the Easy Reader app through which you can access RNIB talking books and many other accessible libraries as well. And of course, Dolphin is known for the guide software that simplifies access to your computer, tablet, and I believe even comes as a set-top box that you can connect to your TV. Joining me from Dolphin is the Managing Director, Steve Bennett. Hi, Steve. It's been a while.
It has, David. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to speak to everyone.
Now, I always think of Dolphin as being the sort of omnipresent at Site Village. You've been there every year since I can remember. And you've been with Dolphin, of course, a long time as well. We met when I was a scruffy teenager at university, and you used to come up and we used to moan about things. Well, I used to moan, and you used to make lots of notes and go back and try and fix it. So it's good to be back in touch.
Absolutely. Yeah, Gus, I remember those days. It always used to cost me quite a bit of money in steak and Guinness, if I remember right.
Yeah, this is true. So moving swiftly on, let's catch up with those sort of three product lines then. So what's new with Supernova, your software for magnification and screen reading?
Yeah, I mean, we've made some more changes. I mean, Windows 11, whilst the brand name isn't changing, it didn't change much from Windows 10. So some huge changes in the background architecturally, which mean that we've had to write lots of things around the magnification and the speech and the braille output. So it's quite a dynamic platform for us at the moment, I have to say, more than any time in the past. So yes, a lot of changes, making sure that we can keep up with the changes Microsoft are inserting for security mostly.
Right. And I mean, I remember, Supernova back in the early days and introducing support for, MSAA as it was back then, Microsoft Active Accessibility. I mean, what is that sort of scene like now with hooking into the operating system? I know we talked a lot back in the day about display chains and video drivers and all that stuff. Are you getting more information from the operating system, or is it still a mix of different techniques to give everybody what they need?
We were very knowledgeable about this, Dave. I forgot how knowledgeable you are. Yes, it is. So the likes of MSAA are redundant. We used to use something called the Document Object Model. That's all going. Microsoft have increased the security to get over some of the viruses there. That's a lot of what Windows 11 was about, the sandbox thing that they're moving to. So they're using something called UIA, User Interface Automation, I think it is. And that's what we're having to use now. So, gosh, it's huge rewrites for us in the background and the other vendors as well, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And if I understand it right, in Windows 11, we've got Teams as sort of part of Windows 11 now.
Yeah, Microsoft, I have to say, have been smart here, looking at using that Teams to actually drive other stuff. So when you actually look at things like SharePoint and with the way that the 365, the student accounts are coming through, it's very pivoted from Teams now.
Right. So if people need to use the sort of the latest and greatest from Microsoft, then which version of Supernova are you going to need for that?
So version 21, so the latest release, we had a 2101 in January, then a bit later 2102, and 2103 will be the one we're showing at Site City later this month.
Excellent, right. And if I have an earlier version, there's an upgrade path, presumably?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, so if you're on version 21 and you've got a business interim, just click in update from internet and it will pour in. If you have a software maintenance agreement, then we will give you notice. And of course, you can upgrade and give you a price to change to the later version. I mean, just as a word of caution to everybody, I would urge you do that because there are such big architectural changes going on in Windows.
In terms of learning how to use Windows, I remember, Steve, when we went from, earlier versions of Windows, there's always a bit of a learning curve because things move around. You know, do you remember when the new start menu came in and all of that, and people get hopelessly lost? I mean, what's the best way to sort of access training and advice with that?
Okay, so you'll shortly see come online a whole learning portal for Dolphin, and that would be in a small step. So my colleague Neil McBride has written that. I was so pleased when I read it. It's just absolutely what I hope for. So that does in small steps how to use Supernova with Windows. They'll look on Dolphin, yourdolphin.com, and then you look in the news section, you'll see when that comes online.
Let's move on then to EasyReader. I mean, I just think EasyReader has been such a fantastic advert for what Dolphin is all about. And I remember sitting in meetings years ago talking about, yeah, well, it's important to kind of connect up with the content and get the content to your device. I mean, of course, you've done all that now. So I have the EasyReader app on my iPhone, and of course it's available for Android as well. RNIB, of course, make talking books and newspapers available through EasyReader. So and the app itself for individual end users like myself, it's completely free to get from the App Store. So what's happening with EasyReader?
So earlier this year, people may know that we released a Windows version, previously that being paid for, so that's absolutely free. If you go along to the yourdolphin.com, select EasyReader, you can find and download the Windows version. So we'll have, we previously mentioned the Android and the Apple. So if you've got the three and you're using different platforms, you'll find that your synchronization position will always be there, so the last listening position rather, will work nicely between the different platforms that you're using. And what we're working on now is actually making sure that you can offer a fully synchronized experience for customers. And this will be an optional extra. It's not going to change the apps being free. But if you like your book list to be available to you, you don't want to have to log back into the library. There's a particular speed you prefer. What else? Bookmarks are in there. And if you're looking for different color settings, size, font, margin spacing, all of that, all of these things will be synced in what we call the EasyReader Premium Plan. And we'll be showing that at Site Village as well. And that will be released for people to have a look at around about September. So this is an advance notice for everybody here.
Fantastic. So I'll be able to jump from my iPhone to my iPad to my desktop, and I'll get all those preferences, all those accessibility preferences will just come across with the EasyReader Premium.
Yeah, it's hopefully it's even better than that. So if you've downloaded a book on your iPhone, when you go and pick up your iPad, you'll just click on it on that same book. It will go in the background, it will go and download, and then it will open up at exactly the same position, and all the information you've discussed will just be there for you straight away. Any app, you sign in with the same account.
Fantastic. And have you announced pricing for the premium offer?
No, I haven't, but I can let everybody know. It'll be around about £25 per annum. So it's a one-off, it's a subscription cost, so you can take and leave it if you wish. So you pay, sign up via the Dolphin website, and if you don't like it, then you can unsubscribe. There's no real pressure. Again, the apps will continue to be free. This is just an extra service that links onto the top of them.
People listening to this, some of us may be able to get to Site Village and are lucky enough to do that. But of course, as you know, lots of people, you know, will struggle. What's the best way for people to find out more about Dolphin and maybe even get a hands-on demo if you're not able to come along to Site Village in person?
So all the W's, yourdolphin.com, yourdolphin.com. There's lots of information there. You can actually book a session with one of my guys, and we can do something online with you, one-to-one if you wish. Lots of people, and I prefer you to, if you just give us a call. So it's 01905-754-577. So 01905-754-577. Speak to one of my colleagues, and they can arrange someone to call you up, give you some demos, and we'll arrange it. If you've still got a CD player in your PC, we can send that out, or we can arrange for a download to come. 30 days, and we do give you an hour's tuition on the phone, absolutely free before you commit.
So if you're listening to this and maybe you're a volunteer who supports a blind or partially sighted person, you can give Dolphin a call to arrange an online demo. And I know you go round as well the country a bit. Dave Salisbury, is he still out and about? Is he still on the loose?
Dolphin Dave is there. Yep, he's still wandering the streets. Yep.
Brilliant. Excellent. Steve Bennett from Dolphin, we really appreciate you taking time out of your day to speak to us here on Tech Talk. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Steve Bennett there from Dolphin. And of course, just to remind you of my interests there, I was a product manager for Dolphin for 9 years. Callum, Tasneem, have either of you used products from Dolphin? I think, Tasneem, you used to be a Supernova user, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I used Supernova for a really long time, both at college, university, and actually part of partway through my employment. So yeah, I found contact with them really helpful, especially on the technical side. And just generally, I found the product Supernova really helpful. And now I no longer use it, actually. It's not really that suitable for my visual needs. But at the time I used it, it was really good.
Callum, have you used Dolphin products?
Yeah, I do sort of remember using Supernova in the very, very early days when I was in primary school. So this would have been like early 2000s, I think. And I can't honestly remember that much about it. But I know that when I've got my very first laptop with school, they put Supernova on there for me. Nowadays, I do use the Easy Reader app. I know that's extremely popular. It's the Dolphin Easy Reader that you can get on iPhone and Android, and of course that's integrated into devices like the Braille Note as well. The Braille Note Touch Plus has got Easy Reader built in. I find that a really, really great app.
Thank you both. And it is important, I think, to recognise Dolphin are a UK developer of assistive technology. So if you have feedback for the company, you can reach the developers pretty directly, actually, by calling Dolphin. Tasneem, Callum, thanks very much. You're listening to Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio. A company synonymous with the Site Village exhibition is, of course, Sight and Sound, who are sponsoring Site Village again this year. And joining me to talk about what Sight and Sound will be getting up to over the 2 days is the head of digital content, Stuart Lawler. Hello, Stuart. Welcome in.
Hey, Dave. Welcome. Great to be back on Tech Talk, on the new Tech Talk. So congratulations.
Indeed. Yeah, we've sort of rebooted it, tried to give it a fresh lick of paint. And yeah, great to have you with us. So let's just talk about Sight and Sound's kind of relationship with Sight Village. You've been kind of there pretty much every year, I think, for as long as I can remember, which is too long. Why is it important for a company like Sight and Sound to sponsor an event like Sight Village?
Yeah, as you say, we've been there. I mean, gosh, I remember I used to come over from Dublin in previous working lives, I suppose, and I think I probably met you there several times as well. But yeah, like, Sight and Sound have been part of the Site Village culture, I suppose, if you want to call it that, for a long time. I think about 20 years or longer. I think it's important to us because it's a really great time to catch up with end users. We do a lot of work with organizations, with institutions, with corporate clients, but we don't get to see our end users as much. And that has never been so true as this year. I don't know about you, Dave. I haven't been to an exhibition since 2019. And I'm kind of, and I know there was a Site Village event last year, a very small Site Village, which I wasn't at, but I'm very excited to go this year. Not really, to be quite honest with you, to look at technology, but just to actually speak to people, to hear what people are looking for, to hear how things are going. So from our perspective, I think Site Village gives us a really good chance to sit down with people, to talk to people one-on-one and find out what the challenges are with the technology that we provide and support. And I suppose get a sense of what people are looking for, because one of the things, of course, about Sight and Sound is that we don't manufacture. And the time we might spend in that area, we're sort of looking around the world to see what else is out there. So if someone comes to us and says, you know, there's a gap here, or this would be a really useful piece of tech, you know, our CEO, Glenn Tookey, is always going off talking to people. And that's something that we enjoy doing. So we're just looking forward to meeting people, I think.
Why is it so important to do that face-to-face, do you think, rather than online?
Because I think, I don't know about you, but, and I think online has been really useful look, it's gotten us through the last 2.5 years, hasn't it? And it will have a place for the foreseeable future. But I think nothing beats sitting down with someone. When you're trying to demonstrate and talk about some of the technology that we show, and again for the target audience that we're working with, in particular for people who are totally blind, very difficult to do that online sometimes when you're trying to explain things. It's potentially more difficult when you've someone like me who isn't very good at spatial concepts, Dave, and trying to describe things and say it's about the size of, and then I start struggling. So for people to sit and put their hands on something, you kind of can't beat it. And we're delighted to have the opportunity to do that this year at Sight Village.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I often describe certain Braille displays as being about the size of a video cassette, a dated analogy. I'm sure you'll agree. And there probably are a lot of people under the age of 25 that haven't got a clue what a video cassette, you know. So Sight and Sound obviously are a major supplier of assistive technology products across the UK and Ireland. You've got video magnifiers, you've got Braille embossers, of course, you're the master distributor for the JAWS screen reader, and you've got a whole range of Braille displays and Braille note takers. Can you just shine a light on perhaps what's new this year with Sight and Sound?
Yeah, so I suppose a couple of things to flag. Braille Sense Mini, the Braille Sense 6 Mini, has just been released, so that will be on the stand, and that's been kind of popular for end users who aren't in education, who want a small device, maybe a bit smaller than the 32 cell, a little bit cheaper as well. So that's going to be there. Obviously, all the Freedom Scientific staples, if you like, JAWS, Zoom Text, all the Ruby handhelds, for example, Focus Braille displays, Pearl camera. And Dave, I suppose we might as well mention it here, get it on Tech Talk first. We're going to have some significant discounts and specials on the Freedom Scientific line. So if you're due a JAWS SMA, come and chat to us at Sight Village. Don't buy it before Sight Village, because you're going to save money if you do it at Sight Village, or indeed throughout the month of July. We have our smart glasses, obviously, at Orcam and Envision, and a new device that we are testing called the Arc, which is a pair of smart glasses that connects to an Android phone using a cable. So it's a bit like, I suppose, what was the old Orcam version 1, which had a cable. But this device allows you to use an Android app to do all sorts of product identification and text recognition. So we're sort of exploring those things. We have the Hable 1, of course, which you will be familiar with, tiny Bluetooth keyboard connecting to your mobile phone. We have the Onyx Oxsight, which is essentially a virtual reality headset to, again, for people with certain eye conditions, it can be extremely useful. So all this stuff will be on the stand and more. And again, just a chance for us to talk to people about the technology they're currently using. Maybe there's some upgrades to tech that people are using already, or maybe there'll be something new that people might be able to get their hands on.
Now, for people who are listening to this that maybe can't make it to Sight Village at Cranmore Park, the discounts you mentioned there for the Freedom Scientific products. So if you want to update to the latest version of JAWS, or you want to buy your software maintenance agreement so that when new updates drop, you can get those. Those discounts, are they available to anyone or just people who come through the door?
No, they're available to anyone, and they're going online from the 28th of June, which is the first day, of course, of Sight Village, and they'll go right through to the end of July. And keep an eye on sightandsound.co.uk or on our social media, because we're going to have a couple of webinars during that time with some of the Freedom guys, and we're going to talk about some of the new features in JAWS and Zoom Text and Fusion. So we'll be doing that over the month of July after Sight Village. So the offers are available from the 28th of June throughout the month of July, whether you can get to Sight Village or not.
You mentioned there a new product called Arc. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's one that we've been exploring for a little while. It's not unsimilar to the Envision device, I suppose. It has a lot of the same functionality. So it can do barcode recognition. It can do text recognition. It can do facial recognition. Essentially, it's a pair of glasses, but the difference here that there's a cable connected to an Android phone. It's working with Android at present. We're testing it. It has potential. There's a couple of things that they need to continue to work on, and we're feeding back on that. But we will have it on the stand for people to have a look at. It's not something that we're ready to bring to market just yet, but we are showing it because we want to get some feedback from people who might just have it in their hand.
So just remind everyone, because we've talked a little bit about Envision in the past, and of course Envision works as an app as well, so you can get the app on your smartphone, and I think they've got a sort of a subscription model. So how do the glasses kind of fit into that?
So I think Envision, the best way the glasses can work is hands-free, and in particular the hands-free to what they, as they say, call an ally. So I suppose, Dave, if you're stuck somewhere, maybe you're waiting at a bus stop and there's lots of buses driving by and you're wondering which bus is coming, you can call a trusted friend on the Envision app, and they have a corresponding app on their phone that allows them to get a live stream of what you're looking at. In my mind, that's probably the most useful part of the glasses, and I know some of the people who have used that and some of our customers have been feeding back and you know, sort of saying very powerful things about that.
How's that different from some of the other visual interpreter services that are out there?
I suppose it's so things like Aira, for example, will do a similar thing. I guess with Envision, you call a trusted ally, so you set the people in the phone that you want to call. It's not like Be My Eyes, for example, where you're calling a random person who you may not know, and maybe there are things that you may not feel comfortable about asking someone that you don't know. So you set up the four or five people who are trusted friends or family members that you want to be able to help you. They download an app to their phone, and if they get a call, they know it's you and you're looking for help, and hopefully they'll be able to see what you're looking at on the glasses. And it's important to say that this functionality is only available through the glasses, not on the app on the phone.
We'll be hearing more from Stuart Lawler of Sight and Sound a little bit later on.
Another one of the exhibitors that will be at Sight Village this year is Humanware, and they are at the forefront of tactile technology, having developed some of the most popular market-leading braille displays out there. What have they got to announce for us this year? Well, Dave went along to Humanware and had a catch-up with Andy Flatress.
I've come to Humanware Europe, who are based about a 20-minute drive from Northampton. And Humanware, of course, is a household name for many blind and partially sighted people, one of the leading developers of assistive technology products, in particular hardware products, braille displays, magnification. There is, of course, the Daisy player and the Victor device. I'm joined with Andy. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Dave. Well, my name's Andrew Flatress. I'm the braille product manager at Humanware. Been in this industry for almost 20 years now, so a very long time. I started in this industry being technical support and leading on to then training, so up and down the UK, training individuals, teachers on products from low vision to blindness products. And for almost 5 years now, I've been the product manager and responsible for all of the braille products that come out of Humanware.
And Humanware are always at the Sight Village exhibitions. You usually have a very large and impressive stand. What will you be showing there this year?
Well, we've been showing a lot of products, as we always do. We've got a lot on our product portfolio. From the braille side of things, I can tell you that we'll have the new Brilliant BI X Series braille displays. They come in two different flavours. We have a 20-cell braille display, and we have a 40-cell braille display. And it's Humanware's kind of first introduction to an intelligent display, a more of a hybrid kind of between a dummy braille display and kind of a note taker. So it does have note taking capabilities. It has access to online libraries to allow you to download them from the device, and many other features. And more will come, and more will be revealed around sort of Sight Village time.
Brilliant is a brand that's been around for a while, but these devices, it's a new hardware platform, right?
Yes. When we look at creating a new product, one of the many things we have to think about are what are the challenges that our users still face today. And what we kind of gathered from our previous Brailliants, which were out for about, I think, 10 years now, hence why we called the Brailliant BIX, celebrating that 10th year, was it lacked other capabilities, because individuals, we want to do more. We want to achieve more things but save little time, right? So when we look at any kind of technology, how is that going to be really useful for me? And so that's why we brought some intelligence into the device, because that's what we knew individuals wanted. Not only just to connect the display to a host device, but having some productive tools on board.
And what's new now with the Brailliant X series? I see there's been some software updates of late.
Yes, so we've just released version 2, and that was released a few weeks ago. And so we've made some improvements in the editor, which allows you to kind of toggle between this text indicator. So for many of users that use HumanWare's Braille products, we have this little text indicator like brackets. Some don't like it, some do. We've given you the option now to turn that on and off. We've made some improvements in the terminal mode that allow you to seamlessly toggle between various different connections. We've introduced various different user settings. I guess one of the biggest enhancements we've introduced on version 2, however, is a Braille editor. So not only do we have an onboard editor that allows you to create TXT files using onboard Braille translation, we've also got a Braille editor that allows you to open up BRF, BRL files, and of course create your own BRF files.
Let's talk a little bit about Mantis. This was the QWERTY device that was put in appearance right at the beginning. It was almost like a really tough time for anybody bringing in a new product. I remember seeing the Mantis just before that first lockdown, so 2 years ago. But quite unique, really, that the Mantis features a full 40-cell Braille display, but a QWERTY keyboard rather than a Braille keyboard.
Yeah, and this has been a very popular product. A product that I guess, you know, HumanWare kind of took a bit of a, not as much a gamble, but it all came together with the American printing house. So the Mantis Q40 is an American printing house in the States product, but it's manufactured by HumanWare, and HumanWare have the international distribution rights. A while back now, probably I think it's 3 years ago, many years ago, that there was an RFP brought out from APH wanting a full QWERTY keyboard, and so we decided to submit our application, and luckily we did win. And we, of many organisations, have been very surprised on the uptake on the Mantis. People have been loving the Mantis, the size of it, which is very deceiving, as you kind of know. You know, when you first kind of feel the device, as soon as you lift it, you're very surprised on the weight, how light it is. And it's just been growing and growing in international markets. One of the great things that I like to say about what the Mantis is if you're predominantly a QWERTY user, and we have many users out there that use Braille displays, and if they're using it with a host computer, they'll tend to read it on the Braille, but then reach over the top to probably touch type using QWERTY. The great thing with the Mantis is you haven't got to reach over the top anymore. You can sit back, relax, and have QWERTY keys and Braille on your fingertips at minimal distance.
Yeah, ergonomically it works very well, because you haven't got the trackpad and all the gubbins that you often get at the front of a laptop keyboard. So you've got the Braille there right next to the space bar and the control and the alt keys. So ergonomically it feels very nice, because you haven't got far to move your hands when you're transitioning between reading and typing. The other member of your Braille family of products is, of course, Braille Note. What's new with Braille Note Touch?
Yeah, Braille Note Touch. So that's our note taker. And again, we've recently had an update a couple of weeks ago. So kind of we were on a busy stage, I think around about sort of May time and due time, where we've released another update, Keysoft 3. Now, one of the particular updates of Keysoft 3, we've allowed a PowerPoint. So we've now got our very own PowerPoint application called Key Slides, and that allows you to open up PowerPoint files and interact with them very more efficiently than using Google Slides or Microsoft PowerPoint. So that's one of the many apps. But we've also introduced some language learning tables. And I believe that we are the note takers, probably the only refreshable display that actually has these language tables. And I remember in my training days that teachers, pupils, they were struggling kind of learning how to teach a language, a foreign language like Spanish, German or French. And there was always kind of workarounds, but there's these methods two and method threes that are being introduced by UCAF. And method two is what's been heavily kind of distributed and sort of pushed for UK. And we've introduced that Braille table. So now, if you have a blind student that is wanting to learn languages, you're going to be in the same kind of sort of advantage as your sighted peers. So you haven't got to learn the full native Braille code. You just have to learn the accents for that foreign language. So that's really a really keen one for the education market. And we've got many other fixes, but of course you can come and find us on Sight Village and we can talk to you more about it.
And when people do visit with HumanWare at an exhibition, whether it be Sight Village or somewhere else, you've covered pretty much all the Braille products there. What else will people find from HumanWare?
We have the Victor Reader Stream, a very well-known product, Victor Reader Stream. We have the Victor Reader Trek. I believe we'll also be announcing a new product. Again, I won't say too much here, but you'll have to come and visit us at Sight Village to find more about that.
Book reading is obviously a big theme for HumanWare across all your devices, not least of which on BrailleNote Touch. You have the Easy Reader app on there, which enables readers to access RNIB's library and many others besides.
Yes, exactly. And the same applies to the low vision products. We have a version of Easy Reader kind of integrated into that. And it allows you to access various different libraries, including the RNIB reading services.
Okay, so hopefully people will have had the opportunity to come to Sight Village. If not, and I want to know more about HumanWare or maybe even arrange for a demo, what's the best way to do that?
So you can contact us on 01933 415 800, or you can contact eu.sales@humanware.com.
Andy, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Dave.
We've received the following email from Barry Hill. Barry writes, I've just listened to Callum's excellent demonstration of the Ring doorbell system. I was wondering if it's possible to take an iPhone screenshot of an image of the person in the camera, or maybe even use the iPhone's own recording app to record footage. Callum?
Well, I mean, you can save the video locally. So you can save the video of what the Ring doorbell has picked up. And I guess you could also just take a screenshot the standard way while you're watching the footage. So if there was a particular moment in the footage that you wanted to just get a quick image of, I guess the best way to do it would be just to pause the footage at that point. Obviously, you might need sighted help with this, but pause the footage at that point and then just take a screenshot. If you've got a phone with a home button, then it's the, I believe it's the power button, so the side button on your phone and the home button pressed at the same time. Or if you've got a later phone that doesn't have a home button, then it's the power and volume keys. So the side button and any volume key should grab a quick screenshot of that.
We've also heard from Charlotte Benny in Galloway, and Charlotte was interested in the accessible in-home display that connects to the smart meter for tracking your energy usage. And Charlotte says that she contacted Scottish Power to try and get one of these, but apparently they weren't available. So any thoughts around that, guys?
I think as we touched on in the smart meter demo when we covered it, it's tough because the service is available, but it's one of them things where it is a specialist service, it is an assistive service, and they might not know much about it, and there's really not a huge amount we can say. I guess just being persistent with your supplier, or maybe even contact RNIB, see if they can help. Maybe they could contact the supplier on your behalf or something.
So if you're not getting any joy, Charlotte, maybe call RNIB's helpline and try and raise the issue with us and see what support is available there. That telephone number, it's 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. We return now to our interview with Stuart Lawler, who is a content creator with Sight and Sound. Always important to get hands-on products before you make that big purchasing decision. And maybe you're somebody who's going into a new job or going to university in September. And that's really, I think, where you know, those summer exhibitions can really be valuable if you're about to have an access to work assessment or disabled students allowance assessment. Let's talk a bit about Braille then, Stuart, because it's a subject that you and I both know and love. And I always say to people, especially with Braille, you know, it's a bit like buying a car. You wouldn't do it if you hadn't taken the product for a test drive first. You mentioned Hable One, which of course is the Bluetooth Braille controller, I guess you would describe it, for use with your smartphone. And that's kind of unique because it's got built-in Braille translation.
Yeah, it's very different to what a lot of others have been doing. So it's using its own built-in Braille translation. It actually uses LibLui, so it's as UEB compliant as LibLui is, which is pretty much there. And yeah, we've had a lot of people taking this thing and putting it in their pocket and saying, now I can go out and use my phone and do things maybe that I wasn't doing with my phone previously. And I can speak to that personally as well. We ran a really interesting event with people, with a group of our customers, about 40 odd people, in April, called the Hable One Challenge. And we gave people access to this device for 2 weeks and just asked them to play with it, basically, and try things out. And we've had really good feedback to that type of initiative. And it's something we want to do with other products in the future. Because as you say, Dave, you kind of can't just, people need to try things out, and not just try things out on a stand if they can. I think try things out in their own environment for tasks that people might do, you know, not just in a session where they're sitting with somebody, but maybe in their own home or their school or college or whatever. So that's kind of feedback that we're looking at the moment to see how we can do a little bit more of that in the future.
Yeah, because it's not an inconsequential purchase, is it, the Hable One? It's going to be more than a Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard, for example, but it's about the ergonomics, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I should probably... I always get worried when I have to speak in sterling, but I think it's about £275. So yeah, it's not inconsequential, but again, what you can do with it is significant. And the fact that it's so small and stick this thing in your pocket and believe me, it's been, well, mine has fallen many times and still survives. And you have weeks and literally weeks of power from the battery. It's kind of incredible how they're doing it. So definitely looking forward to showing people that.
Just one final question about Braille. You mentioned that the HIMSS Braille note takers have been updated. Of course, the Braille Sense 6 is available along with the mini kind of version of that now. So hopefully those products have been around long enough that they're sort of bedding in.
The Braille Sense 6, of course, has been with us for just over a year, and the Braille Sense 6 Mini about 8 weeks. In the most recent software on the Braille Sense 6, so the latest update, which was released last week, the week before last, we now have access to OneDrive and Dropbox as well, of course, as Google Drive, which was there for some time, and OAuth on Gmail. And this is kind of significant because Gmail access to what they call less secure devices was switched off at the end of May, and that has had an impact on people who've been using that type of authentication method to log in. So those changes are kind of important if you use email on your Braille Sense device. But we can talk to people about that at the exhibition, and we're looking forward to catching up with people.
Yeah, I noticed one of my email clients was complaining about my Gmail account and that they had made those changes recently. So obviously important to keep that software up to date. Do you still see strong demand for Braille note takers? Isn't everyone just using a Braille display with their smartphone or tablet these days?
It's the kind of age-old question, isn't it? And it's people are always talking about it. The biggest demand for things like the note takers are still in education, in schools. And I think people need a safe way and in some respects, a walled garden way to use Braille. And whilst I think the strides in Braille on mainstream devices with Braille displays have been really good and continue to develop, there are some oddities, certainly on iOS, that I think frustrate some of us. And I'm not sure that when you're introducing Braille to people at a very young age, that is always going to be helpful. So I think the note taker has a definite place there. But it's not just in education. I think there are people who are out and about who have been using note takers for years, who are just used to how they work. And for specific tasks, people feel that they do them very well. So it's, like everything, it's just what works for you and your particular scenario, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. And I know it's not your area particularly, but of course there are video magnifiers available as well.
There are lots of video magnifiers. All the old reliables will be there. And the Ruby 10, I suppose, which is probably the newest of the Freedom Scientific ones, the Ruby 10, which also has speech and also has OCR, and people are talking very favorably about that. So again, they'll all be on the stand. Come and chat to us and ask loads of questions, and we're dying to see people.
I guess similar to the Braille question, you know, lots of people using their smartphone camera as a kind of a crude handheld video magnifier. Do you think there's a future for the video magnifier?
Again, I think it depends on task. The sort of feedback and that we're hearing from schools is there are things that the video magnifier and I suppose I'm thinking here of the tablets, like for example the Mercury 13, which is a Microsoft Surface tablet with a distance camera. There are things that they will capture. There are things that they can capture from a distance that a smartphone camera just won't do as well at the moment. So again, just depends on the environment, depends on the user and what they want to get from it.
Excellent. Well, Stuart Lawler, we really appreciate you spending some time with us here on Tech Talk. If anyone wants to contact you or has questions about anything you've covered, how should we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can probably, the best way to do it is get in touch with Sight and Sound. You can call us in Northampton on 01604 798070, and you can ask to speak to Stuart, and I'm sure one of my colleagues will be able to put you through. Or you can email stuart.lawler, that's stuart.lawler, Lawler with an E, at sightandsound.co.uk.
Stuart Lawler from Sight and Sound, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
That's it for this time on Tech Talk. Don't forget, of course, it is your programme. So do get in touch, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, for all your comments and questions. Tune in next time when we'll be hearing more from Sight Village. But from myself, Dave Williams, and Tasneem Marshad.
Thank you, and bye for now.
Callum Stoneman.
Bye for now.
And from me, bye for now.